You're listening to an exclusive podcast of Dave's Corner Garage, heard every Saturday morning from 10 to 11 on Zoomer Radio, the new AM 740.
Gentlemen, start your engines!
The following is a paid program. This program may contain adult themes and nudity, and you can never go wrong with that. Speaking of always being right, views expressed on this program are those of life-experienced mechanics. Continued listening may cause addiction and, in rare cases, a rash. Discretion is advised. Buckle up, everyone. It's time to get this show on the road. Time for Dave's Corner Garage, your Saturday morning joyride on Zoomer Radio. Got a car question for Dave or Alan? Call now, 416-360-0740. Or toll free at 1-866-740-4740.
Okay, Gelman, Alan, hit it.
Yee-haw!
Such enthusiasm.
Hey!
There he is, down in following no rules once again. Welcome to Dave's Corner Garage. Al Gelman is with us in studio for the full hour. Is Jim Matthews from Leasebusters. We hand it over to Dave. I'm wearing no Batman T-shirt, Redinger.
Is he wearing those the floral print shorts this time?
This is his new thing. Hey, go ahead.
I'm coming to you live from our Florida studios, which actually is a cupboard. I'm in a cupboard with a computer and a mic, and I'm having a good time down here. It's really interesting. So today's show is going to be great. We got Jim Matthews from Leasebusters. Darren Boss is joining us from Salen Tires. We're talking about winter tires and all-season tires and all-weather tires and what's the difference. And Mike Wilson from Lant Insurance is going to talk about putting your ride away for the winter. You know, things up down here in Florida, we actually put the ride away for the summer. Mm-hmm. And that's things such as disconnecting the battery, putting the stabilizer in the gas, making sure the tire pressures are up, making sure the windows are down a crack, maybe a little bit of stuff to keep the rodents out. So it's different down here than it is up there. So it's going to be a great show. I'm looking forward to it. Jim's going to come on first, and we're going to talk about why is buying a car such a negative experience? And I think that's really true. So let's go through that and see where we're going. Al, take it away.
Did your Mustang start?
Yeah, immediately.
I mean, you just turned the key and away it went.
I plugged the battery back in, flipped it over, and boom, there it goes.
Because you prepped it beforehand, obviously.
Yeah, exactly right. Yeah.
Are you considered the absolute youngest person in the entire area?
To tell you a story, we pull in there and the guy goes, "Sonny, you can't park there." And I says, "Why not? This is our house. You're the one."
All right. Let's just stick around. This is Dave's Corner Garage. We're going to be speaking with Jim Matthews from Leasebusters right after this. And we'll be taking your calls later on in the hour, along with Darren Bossens and Mike Wilson from Lant Insurance. This is Dave's Corner Garage. We'll be right back. Stick around. Welcome back. This is Dave's Corner Garage, and with a reminder that you can go to davescornergarage.com and listen to the show online and take a look at some of the blogs that we have. One of them, of course, is from Leasebusters. Let's get back to Dave and Al and Jim Matthews.
Jim, you know, people are always saying that buying a car is a negative experience, and it's actually true. You go in there and you say, you know, "Can I help you?" And no, just looking around. And why is that?
Well, there's several reasons. The first reason is, when people are in the market for a brand new car, it's very stressful because it's going to be very stressful on their long-term financing. Got to remember, today, you know, a cheap new car today is $24,000 to $25,000, and it typically takes people between 6 to 8 years to pay that off. So in the end, many people are already stressed before they go into the car dealership. So that's number one. Number two is, unfortunately, the new car industry, and as well as the used car industry, they have a bad reputation from, you know, several decades ago about being deceptive to customers, to lying, so on and so forth, which really today it doesn't exist. There's no pricing challenges today. Everything's online. You can't make things up, so on and so forth. But unfortunately, there are a number of dealerships that still insist on trying to, you know, deploy different tactics in order to deceive customers. And then, you know what? in the social media community, this kind of information gets around, and it gets around quick, and a few bad apples spoil the whole bunch.
Well, you know, primarily this was a used car game, and certainly on the new car side, like you say, with social media, and of course, Omvik, who's one of our sponsors, who are there policing this whole thing, you would think it's got to be pretty clean. But you say, but still people, they still fear that, eh? I mean, because at the same time, even if everybody's on the same level playing field and everybody was straight up, everybody wants the best deal they can get, okay? Nobody wants to pay more than they need to.
And why should they? I mean, but the problem is that, unfortunately, customers today, new car buyers, we'll talk about new car buyers first. New car buyers today still follow that same path that their parents followed and their parents' parents followed. And in terms of that, they're not doing all the correct and proper research. And you guys had Ryan from Car Cost Canada on last week. Mm-hmm. And there are other new car buying services out there. And it's not so much a service, a buying service. It's a pricing service.
Right.
So what these services do and what they're designed to do is to help the customer find the right pricing models, as well as what the cost of the car is, what rebates exist, so on and so forth. And this works for whether you're paying cash, whether you're financing the car, whether you're leasing the car. And what's happening is, unfortunately, not enough people are using these types of services that are available.
They're not using them?
They're not enough. Based on Car Cost Canada, as well as Car Cost Canada's competitors, only 10% of the new car buying public are using these vital services to buy a new car.
Well,
so give us an example of what the customers should be doing. What should they be using? What are these sites?
Okay, well, it depends on what part of the funnel, what part of the buying funnel that the customer's in. So they have to do all their research first on which car they want, why they want it, what's important to them, so on and so forth. Because really and truly, what's important to you when you buy a car is a lot different than what's important to Al and what's important to me. So once we've determined the car and we've taken the car for a road test, once you're ready to buy the car, then you have to go to a group like Car Cost Canada. And what Car Cost Canada does is it allows you to price out this vehicle. You compare that pricing with what you saw at the dealership. Because remember, this is after you've test drove the car. You know you're going to be buying or leasing this particular car. And then you register with these organizations and you get the dealer cost on the car. You get the rebates that are available to you on this car, as well as the hidden cash incentives that are available, as well as interest rates, so on and so forth.
And you're going to be directed to, you know, a dealer that you're aligned with.
In many cases, not all, but in many, yes.
Right. So you're going to, you know, pass by that sales guy that you're really scared of.
Exactly. And with that, so again, those people who have gone down that path, you know, of Car Cost Canada and Car Cost Canada's competitors, those are the people that actually have great buying experiences, or certainly not negative. The fact that that 90% of new car buyers don't go through that process is why the pathway and the buying experience for most of these buyers is still negative.
Jim, if I can cut in, many times you think they buy the wrong car. I mean, they go to the dealership with an idea of what they want, and the dealer hasn't got it in stock, but he's got something similar in stock, and he ends up buying either more or less car than he actually wanted because the numbers made sense and he didn't actually do his proper calculations.
That happens, but that doesn't happen as much as it used to happen. Years ago, it used to happen a lot because there wasn't the same amount of competition today as there is today. Like today, there's so many cars. Let's say, you know, just the compact car market between a Civic, a Corolla, a Sentra, a Mazda 3, a Ford Focus, a Chevy Cruze, so on and so forth. And they're all good cars. A Hyundai Elantra, huge selling car. So that doesn't happen. But what does happen in terms of people buying the wrong car is if they miss the demonstration, the test drive, because lots of cars and car seats don't fit. And I got to tell you, I've been buying new cars and used cars and cars for 35 plus years. And I got to tell you, I've bought the wrong car a couple of times. Why? Because I didn't road test the car. I take delivery of the car and I start driving. 20 minutes later, oh, geez, this thing's hurting my back. It's hurting my leg. Whoops.
Well, you bought it because you liked the leather.
And
it was the right color.
That's right.
And you forgot to drive it long
Absolutely.
Enough. It does happen.
Yeah, you look at the fuel economy in a car, but to your point, it's, you know, you get a little bit north of 45 It's like the body needs different kind of positioning to be comfortable.
Exactly.
And that's what happens.
Just like we can't hit our drives as long as we use them.
It's very true. Exactly. Dave's Corner Garage is where you are. We've got the lines will be open in about 10, 15 minutes. If you got any calls that you want to make about inquiries into what you should look for leasing, this is the place to do it. This is Dave's Corner Garage. We'll be right back. Welcome back. This is Dave's Corner Garage, and we want to get into some different areas about leasing. Al, you had a question for Jim?
Well, you know, we were talking earlier, and Jim said, you know, I picked a car because I like the color and I like the feel of the leather, but I didn't take it out for that road test. And in a lot of cases, you know, even if you do take it out for a road test, it's once or twice around the block. I mean, and in that little length of time, that short period of time, you can't really get a good feel for the whole car. So let's say, for example, you know, somebody has been dreaming about the car, they bought the car or they leased it anyways, and, you know, a couple months into it or even weeks, they go, you know, I'm really not in love with this car. LeaseBusters offers them an alternative.
We do. I mean, you know, typically LeaseBusters helps people that are a year or 2 years into a 3 or 4 year lease. And often what happens is, you know, there's change in somebody's life. So, you know, whether there's a divorce or a new child coming on or a new job or a job transfer, whatever the case may be, LeaseBusters is there to help people get out of their car lease by finding someone else to take over that lease. But what Al's saying is actually really quite common, where people actually do make a mistake in terms of buying a car. And it could have been what Dave said earlier, that, you know, perhaps the sales rep was, you know, trying to, not necessarily to push a car, but certainly to recommend a car and say, hey, these are really popular, so on and so forth. And they, all cars, by the way, in that short test drive, and Al was perfectly accurate on that, a drive, a 10 to 15, even 20 minute drive around the block or down the, you know, down the road does not constitute a good road test. So in any event, if a customer has made a mistake, and it has happened many times, and they literally are 1 or 2 months into a 48-month lease, and they go back to their dealer, that customer is responsible for all the first-year depreciation on that car.
Right. You just can't hand it back in and say, well, you know, I had a car accident, and now I need this. This is the wrong vehicle. I can't get in and out. They don't have any compassion that way.
No, they don't. I mean, you made a car deal. You made a 48-month commitment. It's a contract. You have to honor that contract.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, fast forward. Go to leasebusters.com. What's going to happen there is the customer, or the lessee, if you will, they know what their worst case scenario is. They know that they owe the first year's depreciation on that car, because the dealer will take it back, but they got to take it back at its current market value, which is the depreciated value. So let's say, for example, that number could be as high as $8,000 to $10,000. Because depending on the value of the car, a new car will depreciate about 20 to 25% in the first year. It's the biggest chunk of depreciation, but it happens in the first year. So let's say it's $8,000. What will happen with LeaseBusters is we will counsel the customer and say, look, we'll post this car. What we have to do is look for a new car buyer that actually is coming to LeaseBusters first to see if there's a deal.
Right.
Because there's no difference between a car that has 46 months remaining on it than a brand new car with 48 months, except 2 months and maybe a couple thousand kilometers.
Right.
So what the original lessee who needs to get out of that lease has to do is offer up what we call a cash incentive.
Mm-hmm.
Let's say the cash incentive is $2,500, plus they pay the lease transfer fee.
Mm-hmm.
In the end, the customer who made that mistake may have to write a check for between $2,000 and $3,000, rather than writing a check for $9,000 to $10,000.
How do most people know that figure? I mean, all I would know, for example, is, and all we negotiated was how much I'm paying per month. So how would I know what that shortfall is?
What, the depreciation shortfall?
Yeah.
Well, you would typically, what happens is when people make that mistake, they go back to their dealership who sold them the cars. And then what happens is their sales rep will bring the car over to the used car department, and the used car manager will appraise that car.
Right.
So that's where they'll get that worst case scenario of the depreciated value.
Now, but you have people online, you know, on the phone. So, for example, if we just called you first, we could still find that out.
Oh, heck yeah. Like our leasing specials will explain what that is. And and most customers will say, yeah, I know, the sales rep told me that, which is really a good thing, because that actually bridges the gap, because a lot of our customers really thought that the dealership was taking advantage of them.
Right.
And when our unbiased professionals say, look, no, this is what you are responsible for, they go, oh, well, geez, you know, that's what the dealer said. And now I don't feel as bad and as much, you know, acrimony between us and the dealer, you know, between me and the dealership, because right. they were actually telling us the facts of life.
Steve?
Well, it's true, because you get into that area where it's like you get a little nervous. When can I take the lease back? Mm-hmm. And how much am I going to be on the hook for? So it, you know, it's an interesting thing about where the customer really lies.
Well, that too, but I got to tell you.
They don't lie, especially, but where no, they.
That's exactly.
I mean, yeah.
But you know what? These 46-month or 44-month leases, so these almost brand-new leases with a proper cash incentive are very, very popular. Because you think about it, if you were leasing a brand-new car, mm-hmm. you got to pay, let's say, you know, $400 a month. But, you know, there's certain down payments that you have to pay at the beginning of the lease, some admin fees, so on and so forth. So often, you're writing a check for $1,500 to get into the lease. If you're getting a cash incentive of $2,500 to take over one that has 2 months into it, that's a $4,000 swing to the new buyer's favor.
Ouch.
Wow.
That'll hurt you.
I'm going to go to LeaseBusters to find a car that I want and not get burned. That's the way to go.
All right. Listen, this is Dave's Corner Garage. We're going to hook up with Darren Boston, some Salem Tires, in just a moment. And we're going to try and reconnect with Dave, who...
What happened?
I think somebody drove by his house and they disconnected his feed.
Oh, that's when the dog peed on the hydrant?
Hey, I'm not going there.
Dave uses that line all the time.
We'll try and get him back. This is Dave's Corner Garage. We'll be right back. Stick around. Welcome back. This is Dave's Corner Garage, and we're going to, as they say in their advertising, let's take this one outside. On the phone, we have directly from Salem Tire, Darren Bossens. Good day, Darren. How are you?
Good morning, Steve. How are you today?
Excellent. So everybody's awesome. Going crazy with winter tires getting on. I've seen more cars in this area have winter tires on this early than ever. And so we have Jim Matthews in from LeaseBusters, and he has a question for you about tires.
Perfect. How you doing, Jim?
Pretty good. And yourself?
I'm doing well, thank you.
Great. So this week I had to get some winter tires put on my wife's car. And she has a 2018 Audi S5 Sportback.
Okay.
And what we discovered, or what I was informed, is that winter tires do not have a run flat model. And the type of tires that she has on her particular car are run flats.
Right.
And I was going, okay, what do I do? And my mechanic said, well, we put on your tires and you drive away. So he didn't give me the right answer, and Al didn't have enough time to give me the right answer, so I'm going to ask you for the right answer. So what do people do who have, you know, who are running run flats on, you know, higher-end premium brand vehicles and sport yep. tires, and that they have to put the winter tires on?
Well, your mechanic's partially right. You put the winters on and...
keep your fingers crossed.
And keep your fingers crossed. If you do end up with a flat, and as you probably know, you're more likely to have issues in the winter with all the potholes in the city, et cetera. It's until someone starts producing a run flat winter, it's at this point, I would assume it would have been produced by now, but I guess it's based on quantities or people purchasing them. Obviously, it's supply and demand. So, yeah, you're basically put them on and you cross your fingers and hope nothing happens. Most of my cars have no spares all year round. So if I end up with an issue, I'm on the hook or getting towed.
Well, that's what the reply I've got from a lot of people when I told them, because run flat tires are twice as expensive, as your regular tires. Less likely to blow, but they do go. And a few people said, you think if I blew one out, I'd be the person on the side of the road jacking the car up? So, of course, the answer was no. And they'd be calling, you know, CAA or some kind of towing service to tow it anyways. And right. then you'd get it towed to where you need to. Worst case, though, you could find a, a Steely, could you not? And that would fit and just drive around with it in your trunk?
Yeah, you can definitely, especially if you've got an SUV. My vehicles, it would take up basically the whole trunk, so... But yeah, you can definitely drive around with, you can get a spare yourself and put it in the back if you've got room. So that's not a problem. Might add a little weight too for a little more traction.
Right.
Well.
The other thing you could do as well is just keep one of the summers in there too.
Yep, definitely. You can always do that. But at the end of the day, like I said, I think it's just supply and demand. And as you know, the winter, if there was a winter run flat, it would be very expensive. I typically take all my run flats off and I put regular ones on. Just because the ride's so much better.
Right. What
and roll the dice.
What about putting one of those, you know, those cans of tire sealant or whatever that you can, that actually seals the tire and maybe blows it up a little bit? Does that work, or would that work?
Yeah, like I know a few people that keep those around, and as you know, if it's sitting there for 5-6 years, especially with the hot cold that we get here, when you go to use it, sometimes it's not, you know, the everything's kind of decomposed inside, doesn't do the trick, but. If you get it when it's, you know, I'm not sure what the exact shelf life is on it, but if you keep that maintained in your vehicle, that'll definitely get you, at least get you to where you need to go to as far as getting, you know, the tire changed out or whatever. So it's definitely probably a good idea to do that.
How are we doing as far as inventory? Do you still have most sizes available?
Pretty much. Some of the main, you know, the core sizes were starting to run out in certain brands.
Mm-hmm.
As you know, this is an early winter. Like, typically,
yes.
I remember motorcycles are out in December still, so this definitely helped. And more people are getting on the bandwagon and realizing that it's not a bad way to go with winters.
Yeah, no, I was reading an article in the Star today, as a matter of fact, about winter tires specifically, and it talks about how, of course, winter tires give you a 40% better chance of avoiding a collision and 25% better braking. And more people, especially since they've got the added in, what do they call
incentive.
It? Incentive. Thank you very much.
Yeah.
Where you get a brake on,
thank you.
That you get a brake on your insurance. So a lot of people are going that way.
Absolutely. Like I've said before on the show, I didn't have them until I got into the tire business. It wasn't my first career, if you will, but I wouldn't go without them. It's just the added security, the safety. And I've got all-wheel drive vehicles. So even with that, like it's braking, stopping, getting moving, you don't have that fear anymore when you know, it's snowing out or blizzarding. You have to go out and you get that pit in your stomach going, oh, I hope I make it through. But with winter tires, you seldom get that.
You almost get a little more like almost overconfident because
happens a lot.
When I'm driving with that, I'm going, okay, I'm going to take a little more time, and even though I know I have my winter tires on, but I'm worried about the guy or the woman behind me.
Yeah,
because you know people that give so much room between cars, they're like right up your, up there, and it's like, you know, do they have winter tires on?
It's always a question. What are their tire condition, even in the summer, or their brakes? It's all these maintenance items on the car. Like, who knows, right? But it definitely gives you that security factor.
Okay, we've had our guest entry in here. We don't want to cut him off because he's only been here for about an hour. But Dave is back on with us from down south. Dave, you had a question for Darren?
Well, first off, we had a power failure. Can you believe that?
Yes, we can. That's what you get for going down there.
You should have taken your car generator down with you.
I can't believe that. You know?
So what's your question for Darren?
The question was that I heard that almost 3/4 of the people out there already have winter tires, and I'm wondering if manufacturers assemblies when they're buying a car, does that make a difference?
It's definitely going to add to those numbers, and I think I read the same article, and I'm not sure if I believe it, but it's just all the messaging, right? You know, this show, many shows, you know, newspapers, everything. People are starting to get the idea of the difference between driving on winters and all season in snow conditions. It's just spreading. You know,
I think it's the Me Too movement.
It's what?
It's the Me Too movement.
Yeah, there you go. I want winter tires.
Mama wants winter tires. You better listen.
Darren, what's your website if people want to get more information on on Salem?
SalemTires.ca.
All right. You have a great weekend, and we'll see you down in a few weeks.
Yeah, you gentlemen as well. Thanks very much.
Thanks, buddy. Okay. This is Dave's Corner Garage. We'll be right back. And Al, you're going to tee up what's coming up in the next half hour?
We're going to have Mike Wilson from Lant Insurance. Going to, if you haven't put away that classic car of yours, he's going to have tips on just how to do that.
And we're going to give Dave full instructions of how to get this thing working.
And if you've got a car care question, you're welcome to give us a call right now. This is Dave's Corner Garage. We'll be right back.
Welcome back. This is Dave's Corner Garage. We've got Jim Matthews in from Lee Specials for the hour. And some more questions about, you wanted to talk about the Ferrari incident there, Dave. What's going on?
Oh, I was going to tell you that story. A fella in New York takes his Ferrari, which is worth $347,000. It's like a small house, into a valet parking spot. And they take the car in, and when he 4 hours later, he comes to pick it up, and it has a smashed door and a broken mirror. And the garage says, oh, no problem, we'll fix it for you. The price comes to $20,000 to repair the car. But the real problem becomes is this car now is accidented and repaired. And he now wants to sell the car back to the dealer and buy a new one. And there is $140,000 difference between the car, what it's worth today as being hit, and what it was worth if it would not have been hit. So he goes ahead and he sues them but to try and recoup all that money. And so the question is, you have a leased car and it gets caused in an accident. How does that affect the buyout, and what's the responsibility of the owner?
Excellent question. And I got to tell you, that's one the reason that you just described is one of the reasons why many people lease new cars today. Because bottom line is this: if you lease a car and it gets in an accident, or actually, we're not allowed to say accident anymore. We're supposed to say a crash.
Oh my God, really?
Right, yeah, because accidents aren't accidents. They're crashes. Anyway, if the car gets in a crash and it is not written off and it is repaired and you're leasing the car, as long as the vehicle's repaired properly, at the end of the lease, the lessee can return the vehicle without any financial implication or responsibility to the value for the value of that car. That responsibility is taken on by the leasing company. So they're going to take the vehicle to auction. If the buyback was, let's say, $20,000 and they only get $14,000 because it was a hitter, as we've referred to it in the industry, the OEM, so the leasing company, accepts the full burden of that responsibility, not the lessee. Conversely,
so this leads me to
if you bought the vehicle and you were financing it, you would be in the same position as that Ferrari owner. Right. You have to accept it.
So here's the second part of that question: is you have an incident, who handles the insurance? Does the owner of the car, which is the leasing company, work with the body shop, or does the lessee work with the body shop?
The lessee does, because when you lease a car, you actually put on insurance, just like if you were financing the car. So really, what you have to conceptualize is when you lease a car, you are the owner of that car for the term of the lease. So everything that concerns that car, whether it's maintenance, repair,
good point, yeah.
So cleanliness, wear and tear, it's the responsibility of the lessee. It's like they own the car for the term of the lease.
Right. The only difference is it's the same as if you would have bought the car. It's your baby.
It's exactly the same. Absolutely.
Okay, Dave.
I was just going to say, in other words, get insurance to cover the damages so you're not on the hook.
There is an insurance policy that you can buy out there that if you get into an accident and the vehicle becomes somewhat branded, if you will, that it will actually pick up the cost that you were losing. So that Ferrari owner would have been able to make a claim for $140,000.
Cool.
Wow.
All right, listen, we're going to open the lines right now and take your calls. Coming up next, however, if you've got a classic car, we're going to tell you how you can take care of that thing heading into the wintertime with Mike Wilson from Lant Insurance. We'll be right back. This is Dave's Corner Garage. Welcome back. This is Dave's Corner Garage. It's that time of year, if you've been fortunate enough to have one of the classic cars to drive around. Al, over to you.
Yeah, Mike Wilson is on the phone from Lant Insurance. You guys are the protectors of my classic car. And all right, so the season is over. Well, it was over actually about a month ago. But tell us, what should we do to make sure that car is going to start up in the springtime?
Hey, guys. How are you doing today?
Great. Thank you.
Appreciate you having me in. So, yeah, basically, I'll hit some points that I like to live by when I'm putting away my classic car. You know, obviously, everybody has their own kind of tips and tricks, you know, stuff that they like to do with their car. But you know, I always like to start off with a nice, clean vehicle. So I do a nice little detail, you know, the important stuff. And I clean the car, put a nice coat of wax on it. Obviously, if you want to do the deluxe job, that includes, you know, vacuuming, shampooing carpets, glass detailing, that sort of stuff. And then obviously you want to move on to your oils, make sure everything is, you know, been replaced there. Obviously old oil, we all know, can contain contaminants, moisture, acid, you know, things that, that will pit your bearings, other parts of the engine, you know, things like that. Obviously, I like to live by the stabilize my fuel. So every year, I know some guys will like to do this, some guys don't. I go that extra step, put the stabilizer in it. I like to lubricate, you know, make sure all my bearings, suspension, you know, door hinges, even down to those little things, I like to make sure all the lubrication's all up to snuff on those.
So you must have a 5-gallon pail of WD-40, eh?
I love Canadian Tire, and they love me because I buy that stuff by the gallon.
All right, what about windows, open or closed?
I obviously like to keep those closed. You know, we move into the critters, those sort of things. I tend to stay away from the old mothball trick. I myself love clothes.
Mm-hmm.
Funny little story here. Actually, I was just picking up some clothes at the bulk food store here. This sweet old lady comes up to me, and of course, I'm just scooping out these cloves, and she's, you know, if you're making a ham, you've got a little too much cloves there. So I'm like, lady, I'm putting away a car here. I'm not making a ham. So
if I can interrupt, Mike, you got a show coming up next week at Motor City.
That's right. Motor City Car Club, they host every December. The first Sunday of the year is a parts and flea market that they put on at the International Center. So Sunday, December 2nd, I believe doors open at 10. Lant Insurance, we're going to be there with a booth giving out everybody that comes through the door bag. So lots to see there.
You're going
to
give out cloves or what?
Hey, if someone wants some, we'll have some there, definitely.
And Mike, what's the next show coming up? Is that Motorama up in March?
Yeah, so for us, our next schedule is actually Motorama, which we're gearing up for right now, March 8th through 10th at the International Center again in Mississauga. Big hot rod and race show, so it's a great one if you've never attended it.
And by that time, the snow will hopefully be over.
Exactly. Now, if you want information on these events, how do they get them?
Yeah, you can always go to our website. We list all the major shows and cruise nights on our website, lantinsurance.ca, or you can go and check Motorama out directly on online as well.
Fantastic. Listen, thanks for calling in. Have a great weekend, all right?
Hey, you guys as well, eh? Thanks
okay,
for having
take care. The lines are open right now. We got a couple calls to get to, so Jim Matthews is with us for the rest of the hour from Lease Busters. So we welcome your calls in a few minutes' time. This is Dave's Corner Garage. We'll be right back. Okay, welcome back to Dave's Corner Garage. I want to thank everybody for hanging on with their questions. Al, we got a question about tires.
Exactly. I didn't realize, you know, we're talking in
the green room, which is actually great,
that, you know, when... You know, it's imperative that people get winter tires. The car will drive that much better, less likelihood of an accident, which will depreciate it, that we talked about early. But, Jimmy, you were telling me that you can actually negotiate or get the tires and add them to the lease payment.
Absolutely. So a lot of people today and a lot of, you know, pretty forward-thinking new car dealerships, they're adding or suggested that they add winter tires on either steel rims or a cheaper alloy rim.
Right.
Whereby you add that to the lease cost.
And ideally, too, because at the end of the lease, you can't turn the car back with bald tires.
Correct. So what that does is it allows the customer to have two sets of tires throughout the lifetime of the lease, thereby preserving the wear on both sets.
Right.
And returning the lease with both sets of tires, which will then help the fair market value of that particular vehicle.
Do you know how many people will call me and say, listen, I got to give the car back, and the tires are bald, and I don't want to spend... Yeah, do you have used tires? Exactly. So this is a great way...
Absolutely.
...to prevent that. All right, speaking of tire questions, we've got Don in Sutton, who's trading in a car. What's the question there, Don?
Yes, good morning.
Good morning.
I'm trading in a Buick Allure, which has 16-inch wheels, for a Chevy Malibu that has 18-inch wheels. I've been told that somehow I can make arrangements to have the snow tires from the 16-inch put on the 18-inch. Is that true?
Well, you can't put the 16-inch tire on an 18-inch rim, okay? But you will have to...
Yeah, I've been told with other parts or something like that it can be done.
Well, it's usually 2 inches like that is pretty far to bridge that gap. Mm-hmm. But somebody there is services online that you can find. It's a tire comparison chart. And what you need to do is find out exactly the full, all the three numbers on a tire, and because you need the width, the aspect ratio, and then, of course, the rim size, and then you can compare it that way. So if you want to give any big tire store a call, they'll have that calculator, and they should be able to fix you up.
I see. So it can be done.
Possibility, yes. But the other issue, too, though, is in some cases, like I say, if you go try to go down 2 inches, the other thing that you're affecting is that the brake calipers are quite large on most new cars. And, and it could be that the wheel actually hits the caliper, and, of course, you can't do that.
Darn. So I might as well buy everything completely new then.
All right.
Thanks a lot.
You're welcome, Don. Take care. All right, well, listen, it's getting cold out as we're talking, and we got Ray on the line in Mississauga, whose car not putting out enough heat. Is that right, Ray?
Yeah, that's right.
What have you done to try to fix it? Anything?
Nothing yet. This car was involved in an accident down Niagara Falls that I sort of skidded out of control, and since I took it to the body shop to get it kind of painted and fixed, it doesn't want to... The needle doesn't go to the mid range. It stays sort of at the quarter line.
Well, that's an easy one. The thermostat stuck.
Oh, the thermostat stuck.
Yeah, it's stuck open, and that's why it's not coming up to operating temperature. Uh-huh. And of course, your heat, you know, the heater gets its heat from the engine. And if the engine's too cold, that's why you're cold.
Yeah, it seems like I'm running at only 125 degrees when it should be about 190 or something.
Yeah, exactly.
We have a foreign voice jumping in here. Yes, Dave.
Yeah, Dave.
Do you remember we used to put cardboard in front of the rads and block off the grills to get
Yeah, that was there? That was when we had no money and they didn't want to fix the car.
Oh, block off the grill. But when you're involved in an accident, do you sometimes damage the engine computer?
No, pretty difficult because the computer is actually on the inside of the vehicle.
Oh, it's not under the hood. It's inside the vehicle.
No, there are sensors and whatnot underneath the hood, but not inside. Yeah, the computer is usually inside the kick panel, sometimes underneath the driver's seat. I think it was just coincidental that in fact, that it seems right afterwards. But a thermostat's not a big deal to do anyways.
Oh, it's not a big deal.
Like, thanks for your call.
Yeah, in this accident, I damaged the side quarter panel near the where I put the gasoline in.
Mm-hmm.
That's repaired. This is a 06 Pontiac Grand Prix.
Ooh.
Okay. All right. We got to run. Take care of yourself, Ray. And with an older car like that, like Dave is saying, if you don't want to fix it, you could put some cardboard in front of the radiator, but you don't want to cover the whole rad, right, Dave?
Well, when we...
No. Not the whole rad, but we used to call that instant heat. How much heat do you want?
Well, the other thing, too, is it will affect his fuel economy, eh? If the thing's running cold all the time, it's going to be burning more gas.
When we get to this time of year, where this week especially, it drops off, it's like minus 15 at night, how much does your fuel economy go down?
10% for every degree, every 10 degrees, you lose 10%. You lose 10% because the tires are stiff. You lose 10% because of the fact that you're running the heater, the wipers, the lights, etc. So wrap it all up, you're probably at a 25% decrease in fuel economy.
Really?
Well, normal stuff.
Well, they're better nowadays than they used to be because in the old days, remember, you used to have a choke?
Yeah. Pump it up and start it up in the morning. And, you know, the other thing is that people don't let their cars warm up in the morning. They jump in them and just take off.
Well, for the manufacturer says that's okay to do.
At least a minute of warm-up, you know, while you're putting on your seatbelts and getting things organized.
Yeah, I've been reading that a lot of the new cars, to Al's point, you don't really need that warm-up time. You just start it up and off you go.
No, what you don't want to do is just beat on it. I mean, because there are things that need to be warmed up, for example.
Easy.
Transmission, for example. Yes. So let's say if you live right beside the parkway, you wouldn't want to be starting a car, hitting it and hitting 100 Ks in no time at all. You'd want to give it a minute or two to get warm, right?
Well, some transmissions won't shift properly if they're not warmed up. They sort of protect themselves from the cold oil.
Mm-hmm.
So there's lots of things that do happen. One of the things I always realized was the oil develops water. It condensates inside because the engine's not fully hot.
Mm-hmm.
So you may need more frequent oil changes to make sure that the oil is clean at all times.
Well, and it's funny because they're telling you that you can go with longer intervals, but you're saying that's not necessarily a good idea.
No. What I'm saying is if you're running a cold car hard, you're creating water.
Really?
He's become a scientist. The mad scientist down there.
We were talking about holding water earlier.
Now that the power's working, I'm right in.
All right, so you're taking that Mustang out this afternoon?
I'm going to Costco. Got to go shopping.
All right. Have a great time, Dave. Drive safe.
Thank you.
I want to thank our Jim Matthews, of course, for being here. Jim Matthews, how did they find out about LeaseBusters?
LeaseBusters.com.
And, of course, and to get the best price in town?
CarCostCanada.com.
There you go.
Have you got a .com?
GlenAllenMotors.com.
Oh, my good.
Thank you very much.
Sebastian, have you got a .com? No, he doesn't. Listen, everybody, thanks for taking the time to call in and listen to the show. We'll be back in next week with more questions for you about the automotive business. And you can listen to us online as well at davescornergarage.com. Have a great weekend, everybody. Dave, stay warm.
This has been an exclusive podcast of Dave's Corner Garage. Heard every Saturday morning from 10 to 11 on Zoomer Radio, the new AM 740.